So we're gathered here responding to our nation's proclamation to gather as a people and thank God for what he has done for us as a nation, to acknowledge his rule over our nation. And so we turn to a scripture that affords us words and thoughts for giving thanks to him. Psalm 147, verse 7. Hear now the word of God. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Again, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And we want to remember, before we continue, when it says sing unto the Lord upon the harp, that these were instruments that were typical, used by the priests. And now, the instrument of praise is our hearts. True worshipers, we know that from Ephesians, that we are to make melody on our hearts, literally pluck the stringed instruments of our hearts. And I mentioned that partly to remind us why we're here today, is to truly give thanks. And what does it look like when we're thankful? When we're thankful, we smile, we act excited, we can't help but express to the giver appreciation. So as we come to the Lord, let our hearts truly be instruments of praise, and may we give thanksgiving. Notice it doesn't just say sing to the Lord here. It says sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. It's possible that we could just sing to him and not be thankful. So as we come to him now, let us be thankful. The reason we're going to this scripture is recently, as we've been going through the Psalms in the morning for our calls to worship, this Psalm had verse 7 talking about being thankful, and I thought, oh, that'll be a good one for this year's Thanksgiving service. But I want you to look at verse 20. I think it's kind of neat to consider for our Thanksgiving service related to our nation. He hath not done so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. He's recognizing the special blessing of God upon the nation of Israel at this time, the theocracy as it was, the church and state as one. He's saying, as he does say in Deuteronomy, God has never treated any other nation like this. Now, we are not meaning to imply that the United States of America is a theocracy, although some might. I don't think we would necessarily want to claim that there is something different going on with us as opposed to the rest of the world. Jesus is making a nation of all nations and all peoples. Nonetheless, we do want to think about giving thanks to God as a nation. And this psalm does say, give thanks to God, recognizing his blessing to them as a nation, as a formal sovereign people group. So may we be doing the same today. May we appreciate our nation's history formally saying that we should get together and acknowledge God's providential care over we the people. Being thankful to recognize still there are many who are his people in we the people. So let us gather together if we want to see it stay that way and thank God for our nation as it calls upon us yet still. I recognize that many things have changed, many things are different. Nonetheless, they've not gotten rid of this proclamation. It still exists, so may we be thankful to come together and remember that we have a nation that has a heritage of thanking the Christian God for taking care of everything as a nation. I want to remind you what we studied a little bit on the Harvest Feast Friday night, recently. George Washington made a national presidential proclamation in 1789. Now, it wasn't to be repeated. It didn't say, let's do this every year. That's why we have another one from President Lincoln we'll review later. But let me just review again a few things that the President of the United States said in his formal proclamation to the nation that you and I are still responding to today, thankful for all God is doing for our nation and the church within it. He, among many things, wrote, I'm thankful my notes didn't fly too far away from me. Okay. George Washington wrote, among other things in the proclamation, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Now, notice those words again. We're going to think about that in the sermon. Almighty God, the providence of Almighty God. He says it is the duty not only of the United States of America, it's the duty of all nations. So thank the Lord that our nation is getting together to recognize him today. At least we pray we're doing that truly. He writes, listen to this. Try to imagine this today. Both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. So try to imagine both houses of Congress appealing to the President of the United States to establish a day for the people to give thanks to Almighty God for all that he has done to bless this nation. He writes in the proclamation that we may all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. So he's recognizing, this is just after the Revolutionary War, he's recognizing that they're a brand new nation, and he wants to start it thanking God. They're just a brand new nation, and he says at our outset as a nation, let us thank God. Remembering that he had a more informal thanksgiving with his troops earlier. He says, we as the people of this country should be thanking God. May it be that our president and our both houses and the Supreme Court would say that it is our duty to give thanks to God Almighty of the Scriptures. Also, he wrote in the proclamation of the National Day of Thanksgiving at that time, also, we may unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people. Ah, may our government be a blessing to all the people and not a problem for all the people, not to drain and strain it and put bad, evil laws upon us. Let's pray that our nation would be thankful and that God would bless us to be a blessing to the people, our government. But notice again, he's saying that he's also recognizing there should be a place for repenting as a people. All may the people of the United States of America have a place to recognize there's still a place for us to be repenting before God for our sins and not think that we have any kind of sense of entitlement from him. He has blessed us. We have not blessed him, and he has blessed us in spite of ourselves. And lastly, he writes, or lastly what I quote, that we would come together and pray and ask God that we would promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue. Do you hear any idea of the separation of church and state there? This is a national proclamation, and part of the proclamation is that we would not only be thanking the God of the Scriptures, but that we would be promoting true religion. Well, let us be about that same thing today. Let us pray that God would be doing that in our nation. Let us be thankful for the nation and ask that he would be bringing about revival and reformation, that we would be a people that truly turn to thank God today in worship. The Psalm 147, verse 7, teaches us that all people, and especially God's people, should respond to God's power, provision, and preservation with songs of thanksgiving. Beloved, thank God that we still yet pledge we are one nation under God, remembering we didn't always. That was part of the development of the nation. Thank God that we still yet testify on our money, which we didn't always, but we do. In God we trust. Be thankful. I remember a man that I was traveling with in college as a group, a class trip to England. And I remember him saying to me, if he ever became president, the first thing he would do is take In God We Trust off of the money. Well, there are a lot of people who are thinking that. They want to take the Ten Commandments off of our buildings. I think there would be plenty who would want us to take Under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's be thankful that yet still, as a nation, however insincere it may be, at least we have that kind of a culture where we thank God on our money, that God willing, our money would not be our idols and our God. And that we thank God that He, our nation is under Him and not above Him, that we would yet still, in spite of all our sins, have the blessing of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, over our nation. May we sing to God today with thankful hearts as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, finding ourselves within the kingdom, citizens of this nation. May we thank Him for all we have, beloved, because all you have is from Him. And that's what the psalm would remind you today, as a people of God and as a nation, all that you have is from Him. So rest today, recreate today, rejoice also today, because everything is taken care of. Have you struggled with anxiety and worry this week, this morning? You need to rest and rejoice because everything is taken care of. A lot of times during the holiday season, that's something we actually need to be reminded of. Isn't that ironic? Everything is taken care of. Thank God for taking care of everything. Let us recognize how He has been taking care of us as a family, as a church, and as we the people, yet still for His own glory and because He's kind and merciful to us. The message for you today, thank God for taking care of everything. Verse 7 again says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Thank God for taking care of everything. First of all, thank God for His omnipotence over all things. Thank God for His omnipotence over all things. For if God was not almighty and all-powerful, you might have reason to worry and be afraid. But He is all-powerful. Remember what we saw in Jesus Christ? He said, Peter, go fish, and the first fish you catch, there'll be a coin in its mouth. And there was. Why? Because He's all-powerful. So He can do whatever He wants. He can take care of us. Remember that God created all nature. How? He didn't lift a finger. He didn't need to use a plow. He didn't need any scientific experiments. What did He do to create all things? He just spoke. He just spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was. He said, let there be the earth, the stars, the water, let there be the animals, the birds, the fish. He said, let there be man, let there be woman, and there was. Similarly, what were we looking at in Matthew not so long ago? Jesus Christ is on the boat, sleeping, because He's all powerful and He doesn't have to worry about the storm that everyone was scared about. And when they woke Him, He said, oh, you have little faith. And he simply spoke. That's all He did was speak. He spoke to the stormy winds and waves, and they stopped. And they were tranquil. May He do the same in our hearts today. Remember that Jesus walked upon the stormy sea. Remember, they were huge waves, and He just walked upon it no problem because He's Almighty God. And then, because He's Almighty God, He caused Peter to walk upon the waters because He can do anything. We see the psalm telling us to thank God. One of the reasons, as we group some verses together, is His omnipotence, His being all-powerful, and particularly over nature, which is helpful to remember when we see all kinds of tragedies and catastrophic events, the recent wildfires, and we need water. We pray for rain from God. And what happened today as we woke up this morning is, well, before I went to bed, I thought it was raining. It turned out one of the sprinklers had broken. But praise the Lord, today it was rain. God sent rain. God gave us rain. God has all power to give us rain. There's many times we're waiting. We think it's going to rain. It doesn't. It rains when God says, let there be rain, and then it does. Let us thank Him as thankful children, remembering we're dependent on every drop of water that touches our tongue. And so look at verses 4 and 5 of the psalm. God telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So we also see His omniscience there. Just as we saw with Jesus Christ when He knew to say, go catch a fish, and the first one will have a coin in it. How did he know a fish had a coin in his mouth? Because he put it there. But he knew exactly when the fish would come, and he made it happen. He knew that Peter was walking in, and he already knew what Peter had talked about, and he started to talk about it with him, even though Peter hadn't mentioned it. He's infinite in his knowledge. He's omniscient. But he's also all-powerful. Notice the psalm praises him here in verse 5 for his great power. And he calls the stars by their names. Now, think about that. I tell my family one day I hope to bring them out to the desert to see all of those stars, because when you see the stars in the desert at night, as I only have once with the men's retreat years ago, it's incredible. I've never seen anything like it. It doesn't even seem real. There are so many stars. It's as if the entire sky is a light. And it's incredible. And then you really understand when God said to Abraham, look up into the sky. Look at all those stars. Can you count them? No, you'll never be able to. That's how many children I'm going to give you when we populate the new heavens and the new earth through Jesus Christ. So think about that. You can't count the stars. You can't name the stars. God names them. Not only did he make them all, he names them all. Go watch a video on YouTube when you get home about the heavens and just look at how many stars and planets are out there. He made them all. He is all powerful. He names them all because he has the power to do that. Remember, what did he tell Adam to do in the garden after God made the animals? He told him to name the animals. That was a sign of man's dominion and authority. Well, God names the stars. Is there anything higher? God names all the stars. He has all power and authority over heavens and earth and sea and all that in them is. He is all powerful. Look at verses 15 to 18. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? Well, some might be saying that at the Macy's Day Parade today is my understanding. It's pretty cold, I understand. For us, it's not so bad. But who can stand before his cold? Can anybody change the weather? God's in charge of the weather. You know, as I consider this with the snow, but then the melting of it and causing the waters to run, I can't help but think of something we saw on a video about Yosemite Valley. And after the winter, when all that snow starts to melt, there's these huge, just almost like rivers of snow water that come down everywhere. Well, when does that happen? When God says it is to happen. When his hand allows for the warm weather to come back again. All these changes of weather, all of these things are signs of his power. And so we call him, among other names in the scriptures, El Shaddai, Almighty God. And remember that that is one of God's names that President Washington and President Lincoln used regularly in the National Proclamation of Thanksgiving for our nation. They recognized Almighty God. He is all powerful. How can you take such risks and try to build something new with such sacrifice? Because God is all powerful. He is Almighty God, and he is our God. Beloved, you serve a mighty God. This is something that you and I need to remember, because we tend to think of him as very weak. And if you would argue, no, I don't think of God as weak and small. Yes, you do. Just like I do. Because you worry all the time, don't you? And you fret and you complain because you think that God is so small and he can't help you. You think God is so small and weak and he's not in control of your life. And you feel the need to try to control your life. And you don't. You can't. And you make it worse. You need to remember that God is almighty, and he is your God. He spoke the world into existence. Everything that happens in the powerful nature that we cower at when it gets out of control is from his hand. He's in charge of everything. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. That's the God you serve. That's the God that you are here asking for a blessing upon your nation today. Have faith. Be not afraid. Have faith that with God, Nothing shall be impossible. Don't be afraid to pray that God may give us a time of reformation like the kings did in the scriptures, like Hezekiah and Josiah. Nothing's impossible with God. If we cry out to him and ask his blessing upon us as a nation, he might yet still just answer us. Luke 1 verse 37, nothing shall be impossible. He will bring a baby without a father. Nothing is impossible for God. And he brought us Jesus Christ, who is the King of all nations. Thank God for his omnipotence in all things, and thank God for his providence in all things. Thank God for his providence in all things. So I want to remind you, we've studied it a number of times, but B.B. Warfield says, the Jews, when it rains, do not say it is raining. They wouldn't say it is raining. What would they say? Something like this: God is giving us rain. God is sending us rain. Because they would recognize God's provision, God's providence in all things. So when it rains, say, God is giving us rain. God's providential provision of everything for everyone is in this psalm as well. Look at verses 8 and 9. God covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. God provides everything for the animals. God provides everything for people to survive. If he held back his hand, there could be 7 years of famine, and he doesn't have to let us know so we're prepared. But he often does. He's blessed us with many things to be able to preserve food and take care of ourselves. We don't even really recognize the dangers of famine because we have so much. God provides for everything. You can think about Psalm 104. The whole psalm is just talking about God's providential giving of food and water and bread to the animals, to the lions, and to people. And so here again, it's recognizing all these things come from God. He sends the rain. The rain doesn't just come because of scientific observation. The rain comes because God has made it to work that way. And then he says, yes, let it rain again. As you go out in this rainy season soon, remember the rain is coming from God's hand, and he's going to make the hills full of grass again because of that rain. And that's what this psalm says. He makes the grass grow. Remember that when you're mowing your lawn, if you have one. God made the grass grow. He's making the grass grow. It doesn't just happen. Everything, though many things through secondary causes, is because of God. And if he said stop, it would stop. So be thankful for everything that he provides for us. And recognize that in these presidential proclamations for our nation, they both spend a great deal of time recognizing God's providence, recognizing how God has provided, recognizing that it didn't just happen. He's the all-powerful God who provides. He could choose not to provide. He would still be all-powerful. He is all-powerful to hold things back, but he chooses to provide. And we as a nation are especially provided for. We have so much. I've even kind of joked with my wife as we go through the stores, and she marvels over all of the good and tasty things here and how inexpensive they are. I said, yes, it's difficult. It's very easy, I should say, to get fat in America. It's so easy because we have so much and it's so cheap. And we really don't remember how that's unique in this world. We don't just have a lot of food. We have a million options of flavors, and it's just incredible. And yet we worry and complain. But Paul says, be content if you have food and raiment. And we have more than that. We have closets full of clothes that we don't do anything with. So we act like we have a burden. We have to get rid of them. We go to places like the thrift stores to get rid of them. And people, when they thank me for bringing them, I say, don't thank me, I thank you, because I needed a place to bring this. I mean, we have so much. God takes care of us. We have so much. Beloved, today as a nation especially, let's be thinking about how much we have. And all you need to do is to travel somewhere else to remember that. And all you need to do is to remember, whatever you think about it, there are a ton of people who are trying very hard at great personal sacrifice and danger to get into this very nation right now, right below our border. But you were born here. And you have it because of those who've come before you and set it up for you. Let us be extremely thankful how God provides for us in this nation in a unique way, according to his providence. So as you exit the church today, as you go through those doors, may you say, God is sending us rain. Praise the Lord. And may you indeed thank him for it. And as you sit down at your tables today, and you look at all the food on your tables, may you indeed say grace. It doesn't make any sense that a Christian would sit down to eat and not thank God for the food first. What kind of Christian, let alone a nation, would sit down and eat without thanking God? Makes no sense. May you and I never, ever sit down to our table and begin eating without saying, thank you, God. May we not be like the Israelites who were fed quail up to their noses because of how ungrateful they were, and they ate like Tasmanian devils, cursing God while they were eating. May we thank him every time for every morsel. Have you worried a little bit this year about how you were going to make ends meet? Have you worried a little bit about how you would put food on the table? Well, let me ask you, have you eaten today? Will you eat today? Be thankful. Be very thankful, and remember to thank him even as you look ahead. He always takes care of your daily bread. Thank him for it. Give thanks to God for your food, because God hath created food to be received with thanksgiving. Of them which believe and know the truth, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. When you eat, it is God's will that you would receive your food first with thanksgiving. So before we go home and do enjoy our meals, and of course, give thanks again together, but may we hear, thinking about ourselves as part of the nation, thank God for all the food that we are about to eat. Thank God for the fact that we get to enjoy the nostalgia of all these wonderful smells and tastes. Thank God for his omnipotence. Thank God for his providence in all things, over all things. And thank God for his personal, particular preservation of you, his church, in all things. Because that's the only reason this world is still here functioning. It's on behalf of his church. Thank God for his personal, particular preservation of you, the church, in all things. When parents host a birthday party, sometimes you might invite the neighborhood. Lots of kids come over, people come over, and everybody enjoys the food. And the children go home, the other people go home with party favors. But the parents' children, the child that has the birthday, that child stays home and enjoys all the food and enjoys especially all the presents. God has a special favor and intention that is not something he has towards everyone, towards his church. Because of his general goodness and common operations of the Holy Spirit, we all in this nation have amazing things. And we enjoy, in this whole world, all nations enjoy all kinds of things from his hands. But he has a special intention towards his people alone. He has an intent of favor towards his people alone. And this is something we should be very thankful to be named among them, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. God has a special attention, a special preservation of his church through everything. And that's what the psalm especially is taking note of. And so we see more verses to group together under that idea, God's preservation of his church. Look at verses 2 and 3. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You see, he particularly is taking care of the church, Jerusalem, Israel. Sometimes you'll see it as Jacob. He takes care of the church, a figurative expression representing the church. Look at verses 12 through 14. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of wheat. And this is Israel as a nation. They're praising God particularly because of how his power provides in particular for his people, his nation. And now this is the church going out throughout all the world, and we recognize he's preserving us. And then in the end, in the new heavens and the new earth, we will inherit it. We will be the only ones eating from it and drinking from it and enjoying from it, but then in pristine beauty with no pollution, with no difficulties, with no problems. And so we want to thank him for his particular care over the church. Look at verses 19 to 20 that closes this psalm. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So what is he saying then? Israel is the only nation that God has revealed himself to. He's the only one that he was in covenant with. The other nations, he did not show such favor to. He has sovereign grace over his people in a particular way that no other people knows. And that includes knowing his word, notice. What other nation has the words and commandments of God? These are the words of life. And they recognize as a nation, thank you, God, that we get to be your people. Thank you, God, that you have acknowledged us, that you have been with us, that you dwell with us and you walk with us through the wilderness and dwell with us in the promised land. And now that is still true for we to say as God's people, though a spiritual temple that now goes throughout all the world and one day will come down as the new Jerusalem and populate the new heavens and the new earth. We and we only, the church, will inherit the earth. The God who dwelleth in the heavens will dwell with us on earth through Jesus Christ. May we give thanks for that. May we be thankful for our nation, but may we recognize we don't have to worry ultimately what happens to this nation. We don't have to worry ultimately what happens to this world. Nations rise and fall. But the word of God, God Almighty and his church stand forever, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. You live among the only nation that will last forever. The only nation that really has God's blessing upon it ultimately, it is the church of Jesus Christ, the spiritual Israel, who will inhabit this world and be the only nation to inhabit it under God. Indivisible. Romans 8, verse 28, remember, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things are working for your good. So we can remember to say what we did a few Thanksgivings ago with Ephesians, thank God for every evil thing. For even every difficult thing that's happening to the church is ultimately for your good, conforming you more to the image of Christ. So you, the church, should always be especially thankful, more than anyone else, because you are specially privileged as his people. God hath put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1 verse 22. Christ is made head of all things in heaven and earth for your good, unto you. That's amazing. Think about it. He's head of everything to you. So he says to you what? You will be the inheritors of all things. Our church should be so thankful that it lives in a land that yet still has a national day of thanksgiving every fourth Thursday of November. May we be the first to get in line to say thank you, God, with other people. And may that, of course, especially continue every Lord's Day. Let us recognize how God has blessed his church in such a place. There are many nations where the church is under great persecution, where some are called to be martyrs. And God has not let that ultimately be our problem. I know we like to speak like we're martyrs. I know we like to speak like we're persecuted, but the reality is not yet, not really, not compared to the rest of the world and much of church history. Be thankful. Be so very thankful that you and I came here today and we don't have the government knocking on our doors telling us to close up shop. You've probably heard of some of the pastors recently who have been in prison for many years, other places, simply there to share the gospel. We have it so good being a church in this nation. Let us indeed thank God for this nation and pray for this nation. And have official thanksgiving with the nation any time as long as it lasts that there is this National Day of Thanksgiving. Let us be thankful there's no separation of church and state there. Let us be thankful that the nation would call us to give thanks to our God. Let it be the Christian God. And let us remember, not only did President Washington have a National Day of Thanksgiving, President Lincoln established a National Day of Thanksgiving to continue every year. And so it still does today. It started in 1863. And still today, our nation maintains this day. Remember how it started. Sarah Josepha Hale had been trying to get a fixed national day of thanksgiving annually for 15 years. She said, quote, because there had been an increasing interest felt in our land to have the Thanksgiving held on the same day in all the states. So she said it now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution. 15 years she was trying to get this to happen. And thankfully, President Lincoln responded quickly and gave it to us. We have an American custom, an American institution of thanking God of the Scriptures for all that we have, for his powerful providing for us as a nation, and we especially have in view his preserving us as Christ's people. Let us not forget to do it. Let us not forget all his benefits. President Lincoln wrote in the proclamation, here's a reason we need to do it as a nation. All that our people would hear this, because we are forgetting our God and making ourselves God. He says, these bounties, we are prone to forget the source from which they come, the providence of Almighty God. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. Oh, that we would have we the people like that today yet still, that has an urging and a desire for our nation to thank God, and so that culture made it a custom of our nation. May God have mercy on us all that we don't lose this custom and it becomes completely pagan and humanistic. May he bless us to truly be thankful today. Wherever you are, may people see you giving thanks. Thanks to the Christian God. And remember that these proclamations had the United States seal put upon them. It's formal. It's official. And may we thank God we live in a country that yet still has such a thing. May the Holy Spirit, who has sealed our hearts with the hope of salvation, make this whole church wholeheartedly thankful to God today. So again, that we would sing with thanksgiving. That's what the psalm again says. Sing with thanksgiving. May we not be too good to give thanks to God through song. And pray for the heart of we, the people, to return to Him. For everything we have going for us as a nation, and especially as a church, is not because of us. Not because of we, the wicked people, but because of Almighty, gracious God, who ought to let us kill ourselves in our sins, and yet preserves us still. Everything in our nation, everything in our church, everything in our home is being taken care of by Him and by Him alone. Thank God for taking care of everything. As you sit down in your comfortable homes and you sit down and you eat all that amazing food and you enjoy fellowship with one another today, whatever problems you have going on, thank God for those problems. And thank God that you sit down today and the biggest thing you and I might be thinking about in a few hours is having to loosen our belt buckles and which football game are we going to try to stay awake for? That's our problem today. Serious. That's how good you and I have it. Thank God for taking care of everything. Don't complain. Don't worry. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. He is taking care of everything. Don't act like He's not powerful. Don't act like He's not providing. And don't act like you are not the most blessed people in the world to have the name Christ annexed to you. Thank God for taking care of everything. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, we do thank You for taking care of us, for taking care of all of our needs, for taking care of our morning that we woke up to be able to enjoy its new mercies. And it's new joy to be had. Let us not be unthankful that we could not find ourselves capable of rejoicing. Instead, let us indeed be among those lepers who come back and say to You, Jesus, thank You. And we confess again to You how unthankful we are, how unthankful our nation is, and yet still we come and cry for Your mercy. We repent for our sins and the sins of our nation. We ask Your blessing over our country yet still, for our children and our children's sake, for our churches, for Your people. Lord, we pray though it would be because You provide revival and reformation, that yet still You would turn the heart of kings as Cyrus and Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge You, the one true God over all nations, to acknowledge You before all people. And Lord, we do thank You that we live in the United States of America, a nation that yet still has a proclamation to give thanks unto You. We look to it and are encouraged and emboldened to remember there is no separation of church and state. There are spheres of sovereignty, spheres of service, but we are one nation under God. Oh Lord, we do thank You, and in You do we trust. And we pray that You would help us to be more thankful before the world, that others in this nation would see our good works, the light and the salt, and come to worship You, our Father in heaven. We pray, O Lord God, that You would give us a day as the day of the Reformation, where people would be concerned not only for individual justification, but proper and holy worship in church and reformation as a nation. Lord, we pray that Your commandments would remain on our walls. We pray, Lord, that they would remain most importantly on the hearts of Your people, and that You would have cleansed us and put on our heart a desire to serve You, not to earn anything, but out of thanksgiving and the privilege of being Your people. Lord, Lord, turn the nation, turn the hearts of we the people, turn us back to You, O God, while we yet still have a proclamation, for we could see easily one day, as they try to tear down the Ten Commandments on the walls of our justice houses, as they try to take away the words of God out of our schools, as they try to make it difficult for those who would serve You, let us recognize that we have the blessing as a nation of having Your commandments. O Lord, may we be revived by your law. May we be revived by the blood of Jesus Christ. May the name of Jesus Christ indeed even be acknowledged in our Constitution. May this be again returned to, and explicitly so, a Christian nation. May the Westminster Standards become the confession indeed, not only of our church, but of our nation. May our nation have a church, an official church, supported to give up worship and glory to you. And may any who is afraid of that recognize the opposite effect, that when there is no church acknowledged, then only the church of humanism and paganism and unbelief is acknowledged, and it is running this nation more and more. So we repent and we cry out, O Lord God, that you would bring revival and that we would take over this nation again, not by use of arms, but by the arm of the Lord. That, holy God, you would cause conviction and conversion, and that you would let your law become the law of our land, because there is a movement of our people who have been moved by the Holy Spirit to desire such, just as it was when these proclamations were made long ago. May it be that our houses ask the president to acknowledge Jesus Christ, that they ask of him to give glory in special ways of Christian worship and reverence. And may you bless us all to be responsive to these things. Lord, we do thank you that we're in a place where we can yet still ask those things of you. We thank you, Lord, that we have all these things and more, and that we can trust that you are all-powerful, always providing, and especially preserving we, your people. You are taking care of everything. Everything is taken care of here, and especially for our eternity. So let us pause indeed, and all day offer up to you the sacrifices of praise, the offerings of thanksgiving. And we offer up our closing prayer to you, praying as your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Beloved, would you please open your Psalters to what we have just heard the Lord speak to us from Psalm 147, page 332. And verse 7, pay attention to, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, our scripture we just heard the Lord speak to us from. Please stand.
Da 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 da. The Lord lifts up the meek and casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord and young that cry. by love themselves betake. The Lord praise, O Jerusalem, Zion, thy God confess. For thy gates, bars, he maketh strong, thy sons in thee doth bless.
Please be seated. Following our Westminster standards, we have a place that talks about a Thanksgiving service. Remember, they do not recommend any kind of liturgical calendar, and there are no other worship services but the Lord's Day, but they do recognize a place for Thanksgiving services. And so I would read to you what they say the minister should address the congregation about before you go out. And they do actually acknowledge before you come back, so it would seem they would usually have a second Thanksgiving service. We'll keep it to one. But as you go out, hear these words. Beware of all excess and riot. Tending to gluttony, beware of that. Beware of drunkenness. And much more, beware of sins in yourselves, in eating and refreshing. Beware of sin. Take care that your mirth and your rejoicing be not carnal, but spiritual, which may make God's praise to be glorious. And make sure that you are humble and that you are sober. Make sure that your feeding and your rejoicing may render you more cheerful and enlarged. Let's review that again. Let's not let the holiday stress us out. Otherwise, what's the point? Make sure, again, that your feeding and rejoicing render you more cheerful and enlarged, that you would further celebrate his praise in the midst of the congregation as we return to thank him on this Lord's Day for seeing us through another week as he's bringing us to the eternal day. Please stand for prayer and to receive his benediction. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to have thanked you together, and we pray that as we leave, you would cause our hearts to be cheerful and joyful, not because of anything that may be difficult or not difficult, just to be praising you for taking care of us and taking care of everything. We remember that Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Lord, we can always rejoice in you. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Please bless us now as we depart. Bless your people with a special appreciation for all of your fatherly care. Bless us as we go home to be cheerful and thankful, and as we enter into our homes to prepare and enjoy our meals together or wherever we may be, let us be so thankful. Let us be so cheerful and rejoicing, because what we deserve is death. What we deserve is hell and destruction, as does our nation. And so we thank you that yet you see fit to show mercy and to be long-suffering with us and patient. So, Lord, we pray that as we go out, you would protect us also, that we would not overindulge and take poor care of our bodies, but that we would remember our bodies are your temple. And we pray that you would bless us, O Lord, to have proper moderation, that we would cause ourselves to feel good and to bless others with good and to be strengthened and not weakened. Lord, we do thank you for that reminder, and we thank you again for this opportunity to remember you. We lift up this time and pray that you have been pleased with it and that it will prove to be a pleasing thing to us. Let this whole day be full of gratitude. And we do thank you and lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, beloved, receive the benediction, the blessing that God gave to his people Israel, and through the high priest Jesus Christ now gives to you, his people Israel, the church, the kingdom of heaven throughout the earth. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.